Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Update. A crazy Sports Thursday on the go. Lots of live action, fellas, as Yang would say. Opening day in Major League Baseball, and we have a final just in. It was a pitcher's duel with the Mets and Washington, and the Mets get it done 2-0. Robinson Cano accounting for both Mets runs. DeGrom, 6 shutout innings. Edwin Diaz to save Scherzer. He had 12 Ks and a loss for Washington. Baltimore at the New York Yankees. A great opening day for Luke Voit of the Yanks. A 3-run homer, 4 RBIs. New York currently leads Baltimore 7-2. That's in the bottom of 8. Other scores, the Brewers were down 3-0. Now they're up 5-3 on St. Louis. Atlanta and Philadelphia, they're tied at 1 in the top of 3. Detroit and Toronto, they're about to get started. Opening ceremonies right there. Let's take a look at the rest of the baseball skeds. Baseball action going on at 4:05. We got Houston and Tampa Bay. Astros minus 130. Total 6.5. It's low because of Verlander versus Snell. Chicago Cubs and Texas. The Cubs minus 120, 9.5. We have Lester versus Minor there. Angels and Oakland. Angels minus 115. Fires and Cahill over under in this game set for 9. 6 games at 4:10. Arizona at the LA Dodgers. Dodgers minus 170 favorite. 7.5 is your over under. Greinke versus Ryu. Cleveland and Minnesota get going there at 4:10. Twins laying 120. 7.5. Corey Kluber versus Berrios. We have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Cincinnati minus 115 at home. 8.5. Tyon and Castillo. And San Francisco taking on San Diego. The Padres are minus 135. 7.5 year over under. Lauer and Bumgarner. Colorado at Miami. Rockies minus 135. 7.5. Freeland versus Urena. White Sox in Kansas City. Kansas City minus 125. Rondon versus Keller. 8.5 year over under. And one game at night. 7:08 just before the college basketball. Boston at Seattle. Red Sox minus 200, 7 flat. Sale versus Gonzalez. NCAA March Madness continues tonight with the round of 16. Number 4, Florida State against number 1, Gonzaga. Things get going at 7:09. Gonzaga minus 7.5, 147. Number 3, Purdue and number 2, Tennessee tip off at 7:29. Volunteers minus 1.5, 146.5. Late session, number 3, Texas Tech and Michigan. This could be a bloodbath. Wolverines 1.5, 126. And at 9:57, the Cinderella 12 seed Oregon takes on number 1, Virginia. The Cavaliers are minus 8.5 point favorites, total 119.5. Here's some news for tomorrow's games. North Carolina's Nasir Little questionable for North Carolina with an illness for Friday's game against Auburn. And Virginia Tech guard Ty Outlaw, he is expected to play for the Hokies versus Duke. He passed a drug test today. He was charged last week with marijuana possession. Outlaw averaging 8.7 and 5.4 boards a game. Other NCAA hoop tournaments tonight. 2 games tip off at 7 o'clock in the minor tournaments. Loyola, Maryland, Marymount at South Florida. Bulls minus 4.5, 132. Hampton at NJIT. NJIT laying 3.5, 154. And Texas Southern at UL Monroe. Monroe minus 8, 171. Let's go to the golf. Day 2 of golf's version of March Madness at the Dell Match Play. So far today, Paul Casey and Charles Howell tied. Abraham Answer over Cam Smith. Francisco Molinari moves to 2-0, beating Torbjörn Olesen. Henrik Stenson took out Jason Day. Bye-bye, Jason Day. You're 0-2. You're out of the tournament. Toshi Kodaira and Webb Simpson tied. Billy Horschel over Bubba Watson. Watson, the defending champion, 0-2. He's been eliminated. Jordan Spieth beating Kevin Na. Jim Furyk just took out Phil Mickelson. And the featured matches going on right now, Tiger Woods versus Brent Snedeker, a good one. Snedeker won up through 14. Eddie Pepperell and Justin Rose just tied. Rose with a big comeback to snag half a point. DJ won up on Brendan Grace through 7. And Rory McIlroy, he's now one up on Justin Harding through 13 holes. The other event at the Coriolis Punta Cana Resort, Matt Jones and Sungjae Im, the current leader at 6-under, but people want to know how did Tony Romo do. Tough day for Tony Romo. He had a bad tee time in the wind, 7 over par. He's in 133rd place in that tournament. And some NFL news, the Cowboys close to acquiring defensive end Robert Quinn from the Miami Dolphins. We'll see what happens there after the talks with DeMarcus Lawrence. I think they've kind of broken down there. They're talking about maybe a potential trade, so we'll be on top of this story right now. And Lawrence has received 2 franchise tags and not signing the second one, so problems with Lawrence and the Cowboys. They want to get him signed. We'll see what happens with Robert Quinn. And 8 games in the National Hockey League ice tonight, including a huge one in the East as Montreal visits Columbus, the winner getting the edge for that last playoff spot. So stay tuned, everybody. Real busy Thursday, opening day of baseball, college basketball, Sweet 16, minor basketball tournaments, hockey, and the NBA we didn't even get to. So we got tons of things going on today. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. Stick around, everybody. We got picks, bets, and a whole lot of fun. Red Heat and Rage coming up now.
All you have to decide knows what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready for Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network, iHeartRadio, now on YouTube. I am Gabriel Berenzi, throwing it down in New York. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, in Toronto. There's baseball games going on in both cities as we speak right now. The New York Yankees are leading 7-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. They've got runners on first and second. I see Aaron Judge has three runs scored for you fantasy players out there, but no home runs for Aaron Judge. We laid the run and a half with the Bronx Bombers. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays hosting the Detroit Tigers right now. We'll keep our eye on this game and all the others. We've got Sweet 16, as you just heard Cam say. We've got a very, very busy show. Whale Capper's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Drew Martin will join us a little bit later on. As me and Drew go way back. And Cam, Drew actually is an Auburn Tiger. He went to Auburn, Drew.
Uh-oh. Huh? Are you going to tell him you got North Carolina tickets?
Yeah, you're damn right.
Hey,
I am.
Hey, Drew, see this? 14-1. Beat it, Auburn. Bad news. Hopefully Little can play for you, Gabe. He's got a bit of a flu bug going around there, so we hope nobody else on North Carolina is injured. But great start to baseball today. I followed your lead with the Yankees 1.5. Took a shot with the Mets as a small dog. Great performance by Cano. DeGrom gets it done. And what can you say about Scherzer? This is going to happen a lot this year. Striking out 12, no run support. I think it's going to be a big story for the Nationals this season. Who's going to score for these guys?
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated. I did my my degenerate bet of no run in the first inning, and the game goes under the number. I should have just had faith that it would go under instead of getting greedy. And I went for that quick hit, Cam. That quick hit.
Yeah, you did. You went for a quick. Yeah, you're seeing there. You're like a mouse with the cheese. The trap. I know. Hey, that's the thing, Marenzi. I know the way you think. See, that's the thing. I know your roller coaster mind. I do some of the similar things, like with hockey. Once in a while, I'll do the first period. But you're right. You had a good call. You didn't think there was going to be runs scored in the game. But I'll tell you, when they usually get to good pitchers, it's in the first inning. That's why I stay away from those first run bets. I don't like them.
Now, you know what? I actually, and I told Joe Ranieri this morning, he didn't really know about the first inning bets. And I told him, Yeah, it's kind of a bad habit. It's like, you know, it's a real degenerate crack. It's the crack pipe degenerate bet. I said, if you're trying to win fast. And I said, but what happens often, I said, with these good pitchers is you get to them early. And I actually called it. Once again, it's one of these things that I said, and then it happens, and I bet against it. I said, but Joe, oftentimes you'll see, with these aces, is they'll give a home run up in the first inning, and then there'll be no runs scored after. Lo and behold, I take no run in the first inning. Robinson Cano hits a home run with two freaking out in the inning, in his first at-bat as a New York Met, and I lose the bet. But, hey, it is what it is. You know, we look to get this Yankee bet home, and we'll be 1-1 with New York baseball, and we'll move on. We look to shock the monkey.
The monkey.
All right, I like it. nice choice.
Yeah, it's intro. I like it.
Shock the bookie. Yeah, shock your bookie. Shock.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's roll. Game time decision. Ready to break the radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, now on YouTube. Major League Baseball has begun. Sweet 16, now less than 3 hours away. We got World Match Golf Play that's going on right now. We'll get you caught up to date with that. The Ranger Redhead, Cam Stewart, all over that. No doubt, there's NBA basketball.
NIT, CBI, CIT, and everything else in between. And you know what? I actually like some of these secondary lower-tier basketball games this evening. But let's bring Whale Capper in right now. You can find him on Twitter, Whale underscore Capper, on Audio Boom as well. Whale Capper, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Oh, so good, man. Happy opening day. Good luck to anyone trying to get any work done today.
Yeah, so so what's your deal? Who's who's your baseball team, Whale Capper? You're all over the place. Like, you're like an East Coaster, but you went to Duke, but you live in L.A. right now. So I don't even know. What's your guess?
Yeah,
man? Who's Whale Capper's team, you think?
Yeah, man? Go ahead.
Whale Capper's team in baseball?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Dodgers.
Ooh. It's not the Dodgers. It's not the Dodgers.
I'm going to say the San Francisco Giants.
Ooh, also no on the Giants.
Can you give us a clue, Whale Capper?
What division?
What division?
AL East.
Yankees.
Oh no!
Boston?
Oh no!
You're not a Blue Jay.
Red
you're not
Sox.
An Oriole. Are you an Orioles fan?
Red.
No, it's Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Oh, boo, Whale Capper, boo! Duke and the Red Sox. Wow, that's
wow.
That's
wow. I know, right?
No, no,
give
but you're not
Patriots a... too.
Are you?
Wow.
I know a dude. You met him actually. Cam, remember Mailman in Montreal?
Oh yeah, Mailman.
Yes, Mailman. Yes. His favorite teams: Duke, L.A. Lakers in the Shaq Kobe era, Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Patriots. Oh yeah, winners.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, no, my story goes. I was like born in like the D.C. Area, and so the Orioles would have been my team as a youth. But my parents didn't really get me that into baseball. So, but then I moved to Massachusetts when I was in high school. And, you know, like as kind of an impressionable teenager, like you kind of take on the DNA of the city you live in. And if you live in Boston and you don't care about the Red Sox, then you are like an outcast. Like, you know, like in the middle of the summer, like you can kind of read just by interacting with people at Dunkin' Donuts or at the, you know, at the package store or whatever, you could completely understand, are the Sox on a heater? Are they losing? You know, like, did they win last night? Did they lose last night? Like, the city kind of carries the attitude of the team. So just kind of, you know, having lived there in some formative years, like, you just kind of are forced to kind of understand and know what's going on with the Red Sox. And I happened to be there at the time that Pedro Martinez came through. He's my all-time favorite baseball player, and it's not close. You know, like every day that Pedro was starting pitching, I was, you know, glued to the talk radio, listening all day, calling in, you know, wanted to chat about the Red Sox. So it was a big deal for me back as a teenager and in my early 20s. And I'll never forget 2004 when they, you know, finally broke through and won the World Series. And, you know, since then, the Pink Hats have kind of come in and kind of given the Red Sox fans a little bit of a bad name. But, you know, I predate for winning the World Series with them. So they were kind of the one team in my repertoire that were lovable losers before they became kind of a pseudo dynasty of late.
You can thank the Montreal Expos for that. Pedro Martinez for Carl Pavano.
That's right.
For
Carl Pavano.
I was a Pedro guy before, more like the Tom Brady story. When people are Tom, I'm like, shut up. I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm an Expo guy. And you know what's crazy? This is a funny story, guys. One of these deals. My ex-girlfriend had passed away, and you know, we were having rocky times and stuff like that at the time, and it was Pedro Martinez's first start back in Montreal. And it was like interleague play was new in those days even. It was like, holy shit, Pedro's coming to Montreal. And he's pitching against Carl Pavano. Like, you can't make this up.
I remember this game. I remember
this game.
Yeah,
you can't make it up,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I'm fighting with my girlfriend during the day. And I was one of these deals where I sort of got up and I was like, listen, I got to go. And
And she's like, "If and I got the ultimatum, if you go,
you walk
it's
out
over.
That door, we're done.
If yeah, you, that yeah, you walk out that door, guys,
very
what was
one.
I going to do? I walked out the door. I went.
Of
to
course
the
you did.
Right. Yeah, bye, baby.
I got to see about a baseball. I got to see about a baseball game.
Yeah, so,
it was like the opposite of the opposite of Goodwill Hunting. You're like, I got to see about this baseball
exactly.
game. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But goodbye.
Well, today's tight skinny jeans, thin tie wearing cupcake pansy boys. They don't. Oh, yes, honey. I'll watch it on TV next. I'll watch it on. I'll watch it on VCR later, DVD, whatever. So TiVo. So I actually went to the game, and it's like a rare sellout, right? The Expo has never sold out. It was like a rare sellout, so it's like packed. It's sold out, and man, I must have put like $800 or something on it. Like at the time too, it's like almost everything I had type thing. I was like, there's no way Pedro's sure. not beating the Expos and mowing them down. Of course, Carl Pavano like pitched an effing shutout or something. Pedro got rocked. The entire stadium's going crazy. I'm like, oh, God, I lost my money and my girl the same night. I'm like, this is just great. I'm like, this is just great. But it is true what you said, Whale Capper, about you take on the, you know, the life, you know, the lifeblood of the city sort of gets into you. And in our studio in New York, there's a hotel. And, you know, it's a pretty nice hotel, very nice hotel. And, you know, there's people from all over the place. But I saw a guy come out of the elevator wearing a Boston Red Sox hat today. And the first thing I thought was, man, you got a lot of nerve, dickhead. like oh, it just like you're in the middle of Manhattan walking around with a Red Sox hat. Like, really? If you get robbed,
yeah, you're asking
I don't
it,
feel
man.
Bad. Like, I, even I'm buying
yeah,
it.
You're
like,
asking
I'm like
it.
A real New Yorker now. I'm like, F this guy. I saw him right away. I was like, what a douche. You know, and he was. He looked like a douchebag. I'm just saying. I'm not saying everyone in the Red Sox hat's a douchebag, but this guy looked like a douchebag.
I pulled a pretty poor move as you know as kind of a foolhardy kid. We're going to old Yankee Stadium and hanging out with the Bleacher Creatures for a Yankees Red Sox game and wearing my Red Sox gear. That is the only time I've ever gone to an opposing stadium wearing the hated rivals colors in my life, because that was an absolutely miserable experience. Terrible decision.
I wore a Buffalo Bill hat at a Raider game in LA, which is pretty ballsy.
That is ballsy. I wore a Leaf jersey in Buffalo,
good.
But everybody wore a Leaf jersey. Game 60% of the people were there. I was,
more partying
than threats. I was getting people offering me drinks. What a win!
I didn't have the balls to wear Bill's jersey, but I was like, nah, I'll never live with myself if I don't wear the hat, right? So, like, at least I had the hat on. I'm not gonna lie, there's a couple of times I took it off in the parking lot. But I walked in, like, better take this hat off for a minute. I was with Cam at a Buffalo Bill game, and he was wearing a Joey Galloway.
Oh yeah,
shirt.
They got me that day. That was
skin tight too, Whale Capper.
Yeah,
like it was
tight.
Like old jersey. Like Cam's like skin, so Cam's in a skin like, tight. Joey Galloway. It's like opening day of the year, like season opener, whatever. And it was all day. Hey, buddy, F the Seahawks. People were
hey, asshole.
Like,
asshole. Seahawks suck, asshole. I'm like, okay.
Hey, asshole. Cam's the best. He's like, hey, we're not, it's not even a rival. Like, Cam's like talking. He's like, not even me. I'm like, guys, like, what do you care about the Seahawks? Everyone's like, F the Seahawks, buddy. Hey, asshole. And people started throwing beer cups. Remember, Cam? I'm always before I got busted. I turn around. I'm like, hey, he's all right, man. What do you got against the Seahawks, anyways?
I know. I still got mustard on that shirt. Bastards.
Okay, man. The best is
so good.
When the Patriots were there once, it was like a big snowstorm too, and a Patriot fan went to the porta potty. Bill's fan pushed it over. Game time decision.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, YouTube. I am Morenci in New York, Cam's in Toronto, Whale Capper's in Los Angeles. So, Whale Capper, baseball is back. What's your early season approach? I did what professional patient gamblers do, and I only made 7 baseball plays this afternoon.
More to come. More to come.
Small units.
More to come.
I'm going to get into baseball more this summer than I have in years past. I haven't done a lot of my own handicapping in baseball to this point in my life, but it seems like it just seems like fun. There's a lot going on this year. I'm into a lot of these teams. I'm into what the Astros are doing. I'm into what the Dodgers are doing. I mean, it's easy to get pulled into some of these teams that are finding success, but I'm going to basically spend this first month, collect a little bit of data, test out some of the models that I built in the off season, see if they are at all bettable. And if I'm having any kind of success, I'll probably start dipping my toe in May and start swinging here.
All right. So we've got Sweet 16 and the NBA here this evening. Let's start off with the Sweet 16. What do you think about the card tonight?
Man. This is a great, so people, a lot of hand-wringing, a lot of complaining, oh, where were the upsets? You know what? I don't really want to see the upsets in the college basketball tournament. I want to get to this level of play and see the best teams take each other on. The fact that you have, 8 games in the Sweet 16 where what's the highest spread even? 8.5 points? Like, these are all relatively competitive games. There is no gimme on the slate anywhere. Like, this is going to be highly entertaining basketball for the next couple of days. And I'm fired up, man. It's still an absolutely wide open tournament. All the contenders still alive. I think there seems to be a lot of momentum that Florida State can pull off the upset again against Gonzaga. I really, really disagree with that take. I think Florida State is in a really bad spot situationally. They had a tough travel schedule over the course of the ACC season this year. They were not gifted a very easy schedule. And then on top of that, they make a run all the way to the finals of the ACC tournament. So they've played a lot of basketball. And then in the first round of the tournament, they send Florida State up to Hartford, Connecticut, and now they're out in Anaheim, just up the way from me. So, they put a tough task on this Florida State team in terms of just kind of beating them up physically. Meanwhile, Gonzaga on the other side, their season was they locked up the one seed relatively early. Their conference tournament was what, like 2 games. And, the second game, they looked like they didn't even really care. They didn't bring out their best stuff. They let St. Mary's get into the tournament. And then they have a nice long layoff. They travel only a little bit for their round 1 and 2 games. So I think you're going to see a rested and very, very dangerous Gonzaga team tonight, exact some revenge against Florida State. And that's probably my favorite look on the card for this Thursday slate.
Gonzaga and FSU, because everyone,
to be honest,
everyone's on FSU, but
and that's dangerous.
Gonzaga win by about 10 to 12.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm with Whale Capper. In these games, we have to realize these numbers are sharp, Gabe. When we talk about this, these, like the Super Bowl and everything, heavily bet games and whatever. So I think public money is really important. And people think, the Florida State, the run that they had, the way they beat Ja Morant and Murray State, it's a totally different scenario. Gonzaga, well, 7.5 to me, God, if it was any lower, I'd smash this game. But I'm with you, Gabe. I was going to say the same thing. I think they win by probably about 14 to 16 points tonight. And Gonzaga will be on the card to buy it down to -7, hit a little bit of juice, and I hope for the best. But I think Florida State, despite being a pretty deep team, they're not as they're not going to match up well with the bigs of Gonzaga. Gonzaga can shoot, they can rebound, they can do everything. They should be able to take care of business. I'm with you. We're all on Gonzaga.
Purdue and Tennessee is an interesting game tonight, Capper, as well. I got a piece of the over. I thought it would go up.
Nice.
It's at 147 right now. I got a ticket here. I got a 146.5, so I can't pat myself on the back too much. But, 146.5. So, What do you make of this game? Another very competitive game. Looks like there's been a little movement, some movement towards the Tennessee ledger right now. It was 1.5 an hour ago. I see it's up to 2 right now.
Yeah, that makes me like Purdue for the upset even more, to be honest with you. This is a bad matchup for Tennessee. Tennessee has flaws. Rick Barnes, this is your time to choke, buddy. Like, this is it. You know, this is how it always goes with Rick Barnes. I don't think Tennessee overachieved over the course of the regular season massively to even get a 2 seed. They were extremely lucky that Iowa didn't snipe them in the round of 32. This is set up very well for a Purdue team that is playing extremely dangerously. People look at some of the recent results from Purdue. They see Minnesota beat them, and they're like, oh, maybe they're not as good as we think. Maybe they're vulnerable. No, Purdue is extremely good. They have the more talented roster, in my opinion. They have the better coach, in my opinion. I like Purdue for the upset in this one. And I like your overlook.
Interesting. Yeah, no, Gabe, I was leaning Tennessee, and now the more I look at this game, this is even before Whale Capper. When I woke up today, when I checked the golf and all the betting board today, that one stuck out to me, and I just kind of – we've been on a roll, Morency. We're sweeping the board the last couple of days. I want to keep it going, and that game had alert written all over it. Like, I want to take Tennessee with the athletes, but I really worry about Purdue and that Big Ten grit, like being able to frustrate Tennessee. Yes. And Tennessee does a lot of dumb things. They're poorly coached and they make dumb decisions. They let Iowa right back in that game. They're not very smart, talented, but not smart.
And Will Capper, you brought up Coach Barnes, and you know, that's been a very it's been a very discussed narrative over the last week or so coming into this. Yet, you know, it'd be remiss of us not to bring up Matt Painter.
Yeah,
Matt Painter, 0-7. 0-7 in the NCAA tournament against 1, 2, or 3 seeds. You know, Purdue, all right, show, nice. Okay, you beat Villanova. That's not the same Villanova championship caliber teams. And you beat Old Dominion. Now step up. I totally agree with what you guys say. I thought the same thing about this team, and I sort of think the same thing about – I think the same thing about all these SEC teams. I like the Houston Cougars tomorrow. Because, quite frankly, I think these SEC teams, they're raw, but they have flaws. They're not great shooting teams. Auburn's a good shooting team, but they sort of just out-athletic you to victory, and I get it.
Yeah.
Purdue's a smart basketball team. But let's be real. Painter, somebody breaks through here tonight, getting to the Elite Eight. You know, Painter's 0-7 in these spots before, and that's being talked about as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I mean, the whole South region is kind of like a whole bunch of coaches that just can't help but choke. Like, I mean, Tony Bennett even. Like, I like Virginia in this spot. I like Virginia to cover. They're such a class above Oregon. It's not even funny. The Pac-12, the fact that they even got a team in the Sweet 16 is wild to me. The whole South region, somebody's got to win. Somebody has to go to the Final Four. I don't think it's going to be Oregon. I think, you know, Matt Painter is a good coach. He's got good fundamental strategy.
I know.
Whereas Barnes, on the other hand, like, Barnes is a fine regular season coach. You know, he's going to get your team more wins over the course of the season than losses. But when the game gets tight, when you're in this sort of, high pressure situation, I feel like he makes the wrong adjustments every single time. Like, I've just seen it too many times where it's like, dude, start attacking the rim, or, you know, you got to get past the ball around the perimeter, get an open look. He does the opposite every time, it feels like.
I'm not going to count on him tonight.
Call time. Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. I never watch a big time critical Barnes game and think, and don't at least a couple times during the game scream, like, what are you doing? Like, this is, it's right there, man. Like, just do X and he's doing Y. It's tough to really put it any finer than that. But, give me a little Purdue as a not very, Cam brought up a good point. I think this is worth mentioning a little bit. I don't in general think looking at public betting percentages is a very meaningful thing to do when you're handicapping sports, but you can tell without question that when you get to the Sweet 16 and beyond in the NCAA tournament, these numbers are being moved by volume and people in the market who do not really handicap regularly. They don't necessarily understand sports betting or markets. And a lot of times when you see, you know, the volume moving the number, it's a pretty good sign that there's value going the other way, because, you know, we know so much about these teams right now. And, you know, it should, this should be a pick'em kind of a game based on the way these two teams match up, just from a numerical analytics standpoint. And you're getting a couple free points here back in Purdue.
Michigan and Texas Tech, another basketball game in the exact same son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Phillies just took a 3-1 lead.
Yeah,
so Michigan and Michigan and Texas Tech, another game in which identical point spread, 1.5. It was 2. It's 1.5 right now. How do you break this one down, Whale Capper? Two very similar defensive-minded teams. If you break down the numbers, they've almost had identical tournaments, actually. You know, they both basically cruised, giving up, like, you know, Michigan's given up 52 points a game in this tournament only. Texas Tech, 58 points a game. This Culver kid's climbing the ladder right now. To me, Michigan's depth is going to be the difference. And we talk about coaching.
Yeah.
To me, Beilein, probably the best coach that's never won a championship, maybe along with Mark Few, but, you know, you look at Beilein's success. But Michigan have smart kids that have been in big games before. You know, Texas Tech play defense and have Culver. You know, you got Brzezinski.
Yeah.
You've got Jordan Poole. We saw hit a massive shot last year, was lighting it up last week. You got Matthews back from injury right now. Xavier Simpson's playing good basketball. There's just a lot of different guys that can, like, they're a real deep team, Michigan. We'll hit this on the other side with Will Capper again.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
With all 30 Major League Baseball teams playing today, the 2019 MLB season officially underway. It's time for you to swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. They're looking to make their 8th millionaire winner. You heard it here, people. Money galore. If you're playing MLB DFS on DraftKings or FanDuel and you're not using DailyRoto.com to set your lineups, you're doing it wrong. Go to DailyRoto.com and enter the promo code FNTSY for a special discount, and you get lineup alerts, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in winnings. That's 2019 MLB Daily Roto, the premium package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your special discount today, Gabe.
All right, I'll do it. You sold me.
Yeah, sold.
Now.
Now. The optimizer. He's a very, very smart. The optimizer, very bright. Big IQ.
Cincinnati Reds have taken a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the second inning.
Part of my parlay.
I like the Reds today, too. Everyone's about Pirates. Like Whale Capper was saying, fade. Yeah. Fade the public and the consensus. So we'll get back to the baseball later, but... So Michigan, I'm talking about Beilein and how good Beilein is, and the numbers speak for themselves, guys. Listen to this. John Beilein has coached in 37 NCAA tournament games in his coaching career. He's won 26 of them outright. 26-11 outright, 24-11-2 against the point spread. He's by far the most profitable tournament coach. 24-11-2 in his career between West Virginia and Michigan, mostly with Michigan, and then specifically in Sweet 16 games, he's 4-2 straight up, 4-1-1 against the number. We talk about it all the time, Whale Capper. John Beilein, the guy is a great tournament-style coach. Michigan always played their best basketball in the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's the numbers speak for themselves. Those are very, very impressive. That's a very impressive resume. And I mean, Beilein, you have to give him credit too. Like, it wasn't all that long ago that Michigan was doing it on offense. Like, they had some interesting wrinkles that people weren't getting. They had specific attacks, you know, drawn up for every type of, you know, team and what type of defense they would be facing. And so they were, you know, dynamic on the offensive end, and kind of on the fly, he's transitioned this team to be this dynamic defensive team. So, you know, you really have to tip your hat to the guy. And, you know, I mean, it's tough not to pull for, you know, the likes of Mark Few and Gonzaga with the squad he's got and finally breaking through and getting the title this year. But if not him, Beeline, that's a great team, great coach to pin your hopes to if you are otherwise, you know, not pulling for any of these blue chippers.
Well, I think I made it clear. I like Michigan. Who do you like?
So I'm keeping this. This was the easiest one for me to kind of cross off. I'm not, you know, you don't have to bet every single college basketball game. And you know, this one I kept pretty damn close to the number. I'm looking at 65-60 here, right on the total, and a little bit of value on the Michigan side, but not enough for me to really be running to the window to get money down. But you make a great point about their depth being able to, you know, kind of, you know, when the second units rotate in, if Michigan's down, they'll likely be able to pull back into the game. If Michigan's up, they'll put a little bit of distance on Texas Tech. I can see the game flowing that way. And I could see Michigan, you know, effectively kind of keeping them at arm's length for a majority of the game here and potentially just putting them away late with some nice defensive stops. But I'm seeing this as a pretty tight game.
Well, Morency, you're a good host, great guy, the best, but unfortunately you can't pay my bills or help my financial situation, and I do have futures with Texas Tech and Virginia. We're against each other tonight, buddy. Sorry. Go Red Raiders.
Ooh. Well, I got
what
two words
you get
for
on
you.
Texas Tech?
Yeah, you
I got two words for you, buddy.
Suck it.
Get bent. Get bent.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Gabe, I need Texas Tech.
And you're big on Virginia and Will Capper. I got a future on North Carolina at 14-1.
Oh, God.
Cam's got Virginia. He's just going against me at every turn here.
No, I made that bet at the start of the year, though, Gabe.
I know. That's good.
You must have gotten a great number on Texas Tech. What kind of number? Well, like 60-1?
40 when I got it, Will Capper. I only put 20 bucks on
good,
it, though.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. That's still fun.
Virginia's a lot bigger. I love that. Virginia's got more like, I think, 75 or 100. Like, I hit 25 like a few times. I says, yes, I'll do that again. I like the number. So, yeah, I need one of them. But Morency guy, what do you get, NC? You got UNC at 14, and it's down to, what, plus 550, I think, now?
Yeah.
I think that's the line. Nice. Yeah, one of us hopefully will win.
Nice work.
Don't know. All right. No, like you said, you got to look out for yourself when it comes to this stuff, Cam. I'm just going to feel bad. I just feel bad that you're going to, you know, you're about to lose money tonight on this game.
It's been a good run the last few nights, though, and with all the other things we're betting. So, hey, whatever happens is going to happen, buddy. We can't control it, but it'll be a great game. Texas Tech and Michigan, I think this game is going to be the best out of them all from a pure basketball standpoint. Both teams. Texas Tech has great athletes, great guys, well coached. Michigan, too. They're so deep, strong. I think that's like when I look at this game, it's a shame these teams can't meet in the next round because I like both teams a lot.
Here's a daunting daunting number, guys, courtesy of Mark Lawrence and the database. Number 12 seeds in the NCAA tournament are 0-19 straight up and 7-12 against the spread all time versus number one seeds. The Oregon Ducks, 12 seed versus the Virginia Cavaliers, 1 seed. Now, listen, I know Virginia were the first 1 seed ever to lose to a 16, so maybe they'll be the first 1 seed to lose to a 12 seed as well, but I don't know. And, you know, this is a tough spot for the Ducks. They did it on adrenaline in Las Vegas. They got it done.
Yeah.
They've been flying around the country. Now this is a big step up in class. You're not playing, and with all due respect to Irvine, and, you know, we talked about Irvine a couple of weeks ago. Now you're playing the Virginia Cavaliers who, I don't know, have they gotten the weight off their shoulders? Or the second that they're down, do you start to think, oh, boy, here we go again, Whale Capper? I tend to think Virginia's going to kind of cruise tonight, but they're hard to trust to lay points with.
It is. It's true. They're so much the better team, and you bring up some great points about Oregon kind of being on teams at this point. I'm okay laying the points with Virginia. I think they get this done and put an exclamation point on this one. It's tough to read motivations, and it's especially tough to do this when you're talking about college kids, right? But for sure, they had some jitters against Gardner-Webb in that first half. The fact that they came out so poorly in that game was just incredible. but they snapped out of it. You know, they got their minds right. They got their act together, and they actually put together, I thought, a very nice performance in the second half of that game. I think they're by far and away the better team in this spot, and I would expect them to. I would expect this game to be one that you just kind of keep an eye on the score in the top right corner as you're watching the Michigan-Texas Tech game, and just kind of, yeah, Virginia, they're up by, you know, 5 to 9 for most of the game, and then they put them away and win by double digits in the second half.
Well, I should know Tony Bennett is 12-8, 12-8 straight up in the tournament, but 8-12 against the spread. And talking about good coaches, I do have a lot of respect for Dana Altman. And look, he did this without Bol Bol, and he did this with Michael Avenatti trying to take the team down this week as well.
Good point.
But Dana Altman, 15-13 all time in the tournament, but a nice robust 17-11 against the spread. 8-2 is an underdog of 4 or more points as well. Where was Altman before, guys? Was it Creighton? No. Was it, where the hell was he before he was with Oregon? I'm thinking Creighton,
I'll tell you what, he does seem like the right guy to take carry this program and make the Pac-12 relevant again. So on that basis, I'm hoping that he sticks around for a little while and, you know, does something good with this crew, because it's sad how far the Pac-12 has fallen, and the fact that they have one participant in the Sweet 16 and it's a 12 seed is pretty intense. But well,
that,
yeah, you were right.
Marshall,
yeah, before
Marshall,
yeah. Marshall, Kansas State, Creighton, Oregon. Great call, Gabe. Good call.
And then Dougie Buckett's father took over for him. That's it. Yeah, he came from Creighton. Great coach at Creighton, too. He built that program.
Yeah.
Listen.
He was there
for
16 years, right?
We could do a 3-hour special on the Pac-12 and the demise as to why. But very, very interesting. And, you know, just quickly, I'll throw this out there. We've got a couple of minutes left. Whale Cap here. But it was interesting, Whale Capper. I read this in the New York Times in a business. They were talking about the Pac-12 going basically not public, but they need money. And essentially, they realize how quickly they're falling behind the rest of the conferences right now due to bad decisions by Commissioner Scott, let's be real, with television deals and stadiums and a lot of other things along the way. But they need money. Like, if you look at the amount of money that they pay coaches, it doesn't meet. The facilities, they're not matching up anymore. So basically, they want to sell. Remember, Cam, I talked about this on the show. They want to sell 10% of the pack. They're selling 10% shares. Now, not publicly, but this is to, like, Wall Street, to, like, hedge fund companies. You can own 10% of the Pac-12. How much do you think they want for a 10% stake?
For 10%?
Of the Pac-12?
Yeah. What do you think, Whale Capper? $40 million?
I think they're asking for...
I wish, Cap.
Yeah, right. $500 million. $400 million or
$500
so.
Million?
Yeah, so Whale Capper was close at $400
million. Can we short this somewhere? Because I got bad news for you. The Pac-12 isn't coming back anytime soon. And especially because, I don't know, you guys know this. Like, football really is where most of the money is made. I mean, the way the basketball revenue is shared, like, it's hard to screw up, you know, your basketball revenue if you're a major six conference. But football revenue is where it's at. And I got bad news for you guys. Like, the talent in the high school pool in the West Coast, is drying up quickly. No, not there's just not as many people participating in high school football in California anymore. Like, if you're not, if you're drying up talent wise, like, I don't know how you're getting the athletes to compete with the likes of the SEC and the ACC at this point. You're in deep trouble. So if I could short that number, I would go after it.
But that's why they're doing it. And basically it was going to be, they're going to turn around and give the money to all the schools and say, hey, do better, essentially. You know, the problem with the Pac-12, their TV deals, but also it's top heavy, Cam. You know what I mean? In the sense that, all right, you have USC, you have UCLA, you have the Washington Huskies, but there's a lot of programs that are sort of, you know, Washington State, Oregon State, like, not great facilities in the middle of nowhere.
Even Arizona, for that matter. Like, what have they done recently?
Yeah, Arizona's been mediocre, more of a basketball school. Like you said, that passion for football's not there. And, you know, look, I lived in Las Vegas, and Las Vegas has produced a lot more baseball players to Major League Baseball than they have to the National Football League, you know, over the last couple of years. Yeah. All right, Will Capper, so we got about a minute left here tonight. You want to leave us with anything? You got an NBA pick tonight or just going college tonight?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we hit all my favorite looks in college. I guess maybe the Friday's games real quick. I'll give you guys a little preview. I know you're probably going to hit those mostly tomorrow. But
all right, hang in here, Will Capper. Feeling... Listen, we're going to a break, but we just have we have like a minute, 3 minute segment after.
A 3 minute segment, we'll get your picks.
Perfect.
Good call.
Okay, cool.
Quick break. Game time decisions. We appreciate Will Capper's time. Greg Capper can get his stuff. Whale_Capper. He's awesome with the NBA. He took $500 from me in the NFL.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Fernando Tatis Jr. just got a single in his first Major League Baseball at-bat off of Madison Bumgarner. Scoreless right now after two innings in San Diego. You can tell the stadium's rocking out there. We didn't even get to the fact that it looks like Tyrone Lue. And it's funny, I said sarcastically a couple of weeks ago, guys, that the Lakers will probably just hire Tyrone Lue as their coach. And if they do this, like, Magic Johnson needs to step aside. But nevertheless, Friday, Whale Capper, tomorrow night's games. Man, I like Houston the best tomorrow. I think Houston's beaten. I know it's crazy, but I love the Houston Cougars tomorrow night. But we'll give you the floor. We got like 2 minutes here. Take us out here, Whale Capper. What's your Friday look ahead?
Okay, I want to talk about Auburn, North Carolina. These other games are too damn tight. They're too damn tight. And I like your Houston look. I'm pulling for them. I really want Houston to knock the Wildcats out. I really want Houston actually to go to the Final Four. That would be sweet. But North Carolina Auburn is going to be probably by far and away the best game tomorrow night. And
so do we bet the over? I'll cut you guys, right to the chase. Do we bet the over?
I just want to ask you, what'd you make of that? What'd you make of Bruce Pearl basically saying that? What'd you make of the public response to that? I kind of expected, I thought we still lived in a way in a world where, like, he would get the finger wagging and you can't talk about it. But people would just kind of shrug it off, which was kind of cool, I thought. Like, it
I'll tell you what, Whale Capper,
which is nice.
We're going to replay the interview later. We got Pete Gillett on, former Virginia Cavalier coach. Yeah. We gave him point blank. We're giving him totals inside. Who do you like, coach? Yeah, well, Gabe, I'll tell you what. Yeah. I asked him point blank, should I bet the over? He's like, yeah, bet the over, Gabe. And we had Tom Brennan on, former Vermont Catamount coach, and I brought up Bruce Pearl. And same thing, he started laughing. He goes, oh, isn't that great? Take the over. And I said, so what do you think, coach? Should we? He goes, darn right. Two
Amazing.
NCAA
Amazing.
Former coaches telling us, both said the same thing. Because I said, I feel like we should go the opposite since Pearl's saying this. Will North Carolina slow it down? Both coaches told me today, no, they don't think so. They think the heels will try to run him into the ground.
This is good recon, because number one, I laughed because I was thinking, oh, yeah, NCAA, what's their motto for this whole tournament? Don't bet on it. And then, oh, by the way, Bruce Pearl taking the over. But I like Auburn to keep that. I like Auburn to keep this one close. Auburn is great at forcing turnovers. I think actually that lead lends
Whale
itself
Capper.
To an over because you're going to have.
Find him on Twitter, Whale_Capper.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You want news and scores? Well, we've come to the right place. Crazy, crazy day right now with Major League Baseball opening up. And great day for the New York teams. If you did the New York Mets Yankees two-step, your bookie's probably very upset right now. Let's get to the scoreboard. Pitchers duel with New York and Washington, but the Mets get it done. 2-0, the final. Robinson Cano, he accounted for both of the Mets' runs. DeGrom, 6 shutout innings. Edwin Diaz, a save. And Scherzer, 12 Ks and a tough loss. Baltimore and the Yankees, great opening day for Luke Voit of the Yanks. A 3-run homer. He also got hit. 4 RBIs, and New York beat up Baltimore 7-2. We cover the 1.5. St. Louis and Milwaukee, the Brewers were down 3. They come back to squeeze out a win versus the Cards. 5-4 is your final in that one. Atlanta at Philly. Phillies are up 3-1 in the top of 6. Detroit and Toronto scoreless in the bottom of 4. No runs in that game. Houston has exploded on Tampa Bay. We're now Astros up 4-1 in the top of 4. Chicago Cubs and Texas, the Rangers up 2-0 bottom 3. We have Angels and Oakland, A's leading 1-0 in the bottom of 3. Arizona at the Dodgers. LA taking a 1-0 lead bottom 2. Cleveland, Minnesota scoreless top 4. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. The Reds are up 1-0. That one is in the top of the 4th inning. San Francisco at San Diego. Hey, Padres. Padres just scored 1-0. Good guys against the Giants today. I think Gabe and I are both on the Padres. Colorado at Miami scoreless top 3. KC and Chicago White Sox. KC 125 8.5. Rondon versus Keller. Weather delay there. One night game 7:08 Eastern. Boston at Seattle. Red Sox minus 200, 7 flat, Sale and Gonzalez. NCAA March Madness continues tonight with the round of 16. This one gets going pretty early. Number 4 Florida State and number 1 Gonzaga. They start off the evening 7:09 tip. Gonzaga minus 7.5, 147. Number 3 Purdue, number 2 Tennessee. They tip off at 7:29 p.m. Eastern. Volunteers 1.5 point favorites, 146.5. Late session, number 3 Texas Tech, number 2 Michigan battle. Wolverines, 1.5 point favorites, 126. And at 9:57, the late game of the night, Cinderella 12 seed Oregon from the Pac-12 meets number 1 Virginia Cavaliers, minus 8.5, total 119.5 there. Other games for tomorrow, we got some notes. North Carolina's Nasir Little, questionable with an illness for Friday's game against Auburn. Virginia Tech guard Ty Outlaw, expecting to play for the Hokies versus Duke. He passed a drug test. He was charged last week for marijuana possession, averaging 8.7 points per game and 5.4 boards. So the Virginia Tech Hokies would hope he plays in that game. Other games tonight, we got two games at tip-off at 7 o'clock. Loyola Marymount at South Florida. Bulls minus 4.5, 132. Hampton is at New Jersey Institute of Technology and Jitlang, 3.5, 154. Texas Southern and UL Monroe. Monroe, 8-point favorites, 171. Day 2 of golf's version of March Madness underway in Texas. And guys, upset here. Brant Snedeker taking out Tiger Woods today, 2-1. Here are the top seeds, the top 4 seeds in action. Dustin Johnson, the number 1 seed, he's down to Brendan Grace. One shot through 14 holes. Justin Rose and Eddie Pepperell tie. Justin Rose, one of the favorites in the tournament, came back to get that half point. Rory McIlroy looking great so far. Another win. He's 2-0, beating Harding 3-2. And Brooks Koepka and Hoatung Lee all square. Other winners today, Paul Casey and Charles Howell, they tied. Abraham Answer beat Cam Smith. Francisco Molinari over Thorbjørn Olesen. Henrik Stenson knocked out Jason Day. He's done. 0-2, out of the tournament. Defending champ Bubba Watson, he's done too. Billy Horschel took him out to the cleaners today. 0-2 for Watson. Jordan Spieth beating Kevin Na. Nice bounce back for Spieth. Jim Furyk over Phil Mickelson. See ya, Phil. Other events going on in the PGA Tour. The Corrales Punta Cana Resort Championship. Three-way tie for the lead. Matt Jones, Sungjae Im, and Joel Damon all currently share the lead at 6 under. Tough day for our friend Tony Romo.
in the broadcast booth out on the golf course, 7 over par in tough windy conditions. He's in 133rd place, dead last. The other guy who was in last withdraw from the tournament. Weird one here, Greg Schiano surprisingly stepping down as defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots. That just happened a few minutes ago. The Dallas Cowboys close to acquiring defensive end Robert Quinn from Miami. A few small details need to be worked out there. And more to come. It's a very interesting story because of DeMarcus Lawrence. The price for him has just gone up. The Cowboys' defensive end wants a raise from $20 million to $22.5 million on a long-term deal. Dallas has used the franchise tag on Lawrence for a second straight year. He refused to sign the tag, so this might be an interesting move, Dallas picking up Quinn if they can't get Lawrence. So that's what looks like it's going to happen here, too. And 8 games in the NBA tonight. We'll go through the whole board and 8 games in the NHL, a Sweet 16 when both sports there. A huge one in the Eastern Conference when it comes to playoff seeding, the Montreal Canadiens taking on Columbus in Ohio, the winner getting the edge on the last playoff spot there. Stick around, everybody. We'll update you on the baseball board, a hell of a lot more college games tonight, NBA, NHL, and a whole lot more. I'm Cam Stewart, Gabe Morenci, host Red Heat and Rage, and we're back right after this.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, level two, Major League Baseball opening day. Pretty pathetic, actually. Listen, I don't like taking shots. Montreal had problems with attendance near the end, but it's freaking ridiculous, Cam. It's opening day, buddy. And the Rays, the stadium's half empty.
Oh, I know.
Like, it's opening day.
We did that big story on Montreal, too, Gabe, and you were telling me about, you know,
35,000 people for preseason games in Montreal. Like, enough's enough, man. Like, enough's enough now.
Excellent point. The Blue Jays are playing the Milwaukee Brewers. It's funny because I just talked to Griff about that. He's now the PR guy for the Blue Jays. Yeah, and he told me it was a great experience in Montreal. Everyone had a great time. The city was lively. Even it's the Blue Jays. And I'll tell you something, Gabe, you know, a lot of people in Montreal don't give two shits about the Blue Jays. They care about the Expos, but they're there to support the only team in the country. I'll tell you, this Tampa Bay experiment, it's a failed one. It's done. It's toast. And these idiots, just like they do with the Florida Panthers in hockey, we know it's failing, but they continue to let it go. Get rid of them. Bring back Montreal, and let's get two damn teams in Canada.
Move them both to Quebec.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. The Panthers can become the Nordiques.
But I don't know, and I don't want to pick. There's a lot of French guys, and there's always French guys out of Panthers too that fit right
Huberdeau.
In.
Huberdeau. Like,
exactly.
I am Jonathan Huberdeau. I like the city of Quebec.
He'd be a big star in Quebec City, Huberdeau.
Oh, dude, so. Quebec City. He'd be the mayor. He'd run that damn town.
But all kidding aside, I think, and I'm sorry, Ottawa, but I think the Ottawa Senators should just move to Quebec. Melnick's got no interest in winning there. You're not building a new arena. Your arena's in the middle of nowhere. You could barely sell out when you made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. There's not enough people in Ottawa. You're all a bunch of bureaucrats. You all work for the government and stuff. Nice little town, but, you know, I don't want to say it's not major league, but, you know, you can handle a CFL team.
Yep.
You know, but you're having a hard time with it. Let's just call it out for what it is. And you got this brand new arena in Quebec City. They have money in Quebec City. It's
they
a
do.
Rich town,
they do.
Man. They're rich. Like, they got money there.
Buddy, I told you, when we used to do those trips to Quebec when I was in high school, it was the highlight, like one of the highlights of my life, getting wasted and going to see the Quebec Nordiques play the Whalers at the Colisée. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Great.
It was a great experience. Oh, God, man, I love that town. We had so much fun. Oh, yeah. Drinks were basically free. We're jumping off bridges into snow. Like, it was just like, it was the best piss up I think I've ever had. Like, it was unbelievable. Great people there. And I'll tell you, though, in Ottawa's defense, Gabe, I did do the Journey of the Cup. They have good fans. It's just what they did. The situation
I
know you're partly right, though. Like, they're bureaucrats in the city. They have good fans. But the damn arena, the Canadian Tire Center's in Kanata. It does not work. You cannot leave that place. You wait in traffic 3 hours.
But we're
like,
also,
I don't care
we're
how hard
to point.
You are.
I get it. You're good fans. But you can't just support the team when they go to the Cup. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're either in or you're out.
Yeah, I know.
You know. I don't know, like, who's attendance? The Panthers' attendance has to be worse, right?
Oh, way worse. They're the worst in the league.
Than the Senators? We'll look at the NHL attendance.
Yeah.
But we got Drew Martin Betts on the other side.
Game time decisions. From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Well, I was talking this morning on the morning show with Joe Ranieri, and I said that in past years, sometimes I had like $5,000 a week credit. I said, Cam knows the drill. If you're real degenerate, they'll give you a lot of credit. So, you know, there's the $500 credit, the $1,000 credit, the $2,000 credit, the $3,000 credit. And you notice, Cam, there's not really the four. It goes from three to five.
It does. You know what I had, Gabe? So stupid, I forgot my passwords, but the guy originally set me up with like one account had a dime in it and one account had 500. But then I did futures and all this other stuff. So I have five different accounts. And it was kind of funny when I asked for the other ones, he gave me the max. So there was that one time. Yeah, I basically had like I could have had 16,500. But that's scary. I told him I don't want to look at those things anymore. I don't want to have the ability to like lose
16,500. No.
No, I go. Can't we keep it at like three or four dimes? Yeah, no. The guy's like, hey, you want the 5,000 in there? No, I want 1,000. You idiot.
Those guys used to do it to me all the time. Hey, Moretti, we bumped your credit up. Like I didn't even ask. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Did I ask for it? Yeah.
No, but I was gonna say
what a scumbag move though.
The best thing to do when you have this credit to stick it to the bookie though. Is bet it all on futures. It really pisses them off.
Yeah. Oh,
so you
sure
bet it
does.
All on futures, like your five dimes credit. And I said this morning, if I had it, I'd put $2,000 right now on the Mets not winning 86 games. Well, one down. Yep. They won today. DeGrom got it done. Robbie Cano goes 2-for-4 in his Metropolitan debut. But let's talk basketball right now with an Auburn Tiger. Not a player, but an alumnus. And a man that we know very well, Drew Martin, steps up. And what's up, Drew?
Hey, Gabe. What's up, man? I'm happy to be on the show. Congrats to you and Cam and all the success you've had with the show. And excited to talk some Sweet 16 with you guys, man.
Hey, good stuff. Good to catch
Thanks
up with you, Drew. So where are you right now? Are you in the Orlando area now?
I'm actually in Fort Lauderdale, Florida right now. So I believe we're in the same country, right? You're in New York now,
yeah.
Right, Dave?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, you should hook up with Mark Lawrence. Mark Lawrence is in the Fort Lauderdale area, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually thinking about meeting up with him and in Greek down here for the Florida Derby on Saturday.
Derby.
Oh, we got to get some picks for Friday's show, Gabe. Good stuff. Thanks for reminding me, Drew.
Mark Lawrence used to own horses there, and he's got like his own box there and stuff. Yeah. Good guy to go to the Florida Derby with. Yeah, we'll talk about the Florida Derby tomorrow. So we'll get into the Auburn Tiger game in a couple of minutes, Drew. But what about tonight's card? Drew is a big, big college handicapper, big bettor, loves college sports, pro too. But, you know, I know you're very passionate about the college and the collegiate game, football and basketball. So what's your take on tonight's card? If you had to narrow down, we'll go through the games. But what's your best bet? What did you put the most on tonight?
Well, I have two bets pending tonight. One Florida State and the other Virginia minus the points. I guess I'll just start with the late night action. The nightcap 10 o'clock Eastern time. I just kind of think the Cinderella run for Oregon is time's about to run up. You know, the Pac-12 team did make it this far. You got to give credit to them. They got good point guard play. But I just think they're running up into a matchup of Virginia does everything Oregon does well. They just do it better. And they're going to slow the game down. You know, both teams are in 300s in terms of pace of offensive play. There's not going to be a lot of possessions in this game. It will be sub 70 possessions, could even be sub 60 possessions. And Virginia, you know, you could make the argument they're the best defensive team in the country. And this year, Gabe, more so than years past, this Virginia team can put the ball in the bucket, man. Kyle Guy, he can score from anywhere. And really, it's the role players as well. They're offensively very efficient. And they hit their free throws as well. So a good defensive team hits their free throws in this price range. I'm laying the points with Virginia.
Well, if you say that, Drew, Gabe, I was thinking that if Drew thinks it's going to be a low possession game, even a total at $148.5, you're thinking that's is that a little bit too steep? Would you actually look to the under there, Drew? If we're going to have a slow paced game, that seems like a pretty high total.
Yeah, I mean, when you break it down, like let's just say there is 60 possessions, and you do a point per possession, that would come out to 120 points. That's right where this total is at, 120.
Yeah, the total is 119. Yeah, 119 okay. Right now. Low. Let me see. Let me get the update.
Sorry, I was talking about I was talking Florida State and Gonzaga there. Yeah, no, the total, yeah, for that game, 120. What is it? 120.
Yeah, 120
flat.
Now. 120. Yeah, 148.5 for the Florida State Gonzaga game. Yeah. Yeah, Oregon and Virginia, 120. Mike, if I had to, I'd bet the over. I stayed away from this total. If Virginia laying 8.5 points, I think they cover as well, Drew. You know, the Ducks. It was. They have to be running out of steam a little bit now. You know, the Vegas trip where they played for their lives, overtime games just to get into the tournament, and then last week, a very emotional weekend. They played a last game, late night game against Cal Irvine. And all due respect to Cal Irvine, you know, Virginia is not a team from the Big West. So this is a different – I agree with you. I think sort of everything that Oregon wants to do, Virginia won't be fazed by it. That's why I like Michigan tonight.
Yeah.
Like Texas Tech want to bully you and play defense. It's like, whatever, dude. We're from the Big Ten. You know what I mean? We've never seen a defensive team before for playing Michigan State three times a year. Right, or a physical team. So I agree with the style here. I think Virginia are going to wear them out. I think the Ducks come out flat, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if it's kind of a semi-route tonight.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you for pretty much everything you said. And you know, in their subsector of the bracket, Oregon, you know, you do have to tip your cap to them. They have played well, but their subsector of the bracket was pretty weak. You know, you got to remember, Kansas State was without their best player, Dean Wade. Wisconsin has had problems all year long. So as far as in the teams that they've had to make it past, and then UC Irvine beating them. So it's not like they had a rough road to get here. And going up against the one seed Virginia, the type of defense they play and the offensive efficiency that they have, I think their Cinderella run ends tonight. I would lay the 8.5. I could see them winning, you know, double digits. It might be a blowout.
And you're taking FSU plus the points, you said earlier.
Huh. Yeah, I like FSU as well. You know, this is a long, lanky, strong defensive team. We saw it last year. They gave Gonzaga all kinds of offensive problems. This is a Florida State team that, you know, made it through the ACC. They're battle-tested. Outside of, you know, Duke beating them in the ACC championship game, they've been hot. And they've been better offensively. They do hit their free throws. Just kind of a strong defensive battle where I think it comes down to the end. And this is the type of game where I want the points. You know, Cam brought up the total earlier. I do like the under in this game. I haven't bet it yet, but just because it's a publicly bet game and I think that it could inch up over. So right before tip off, I think it might be a sharp bet here to take the under in this game, just because Florida State really trends towards the under. Their defensive team not really looking to push the pace, and I think that they can't control the pace. So I like Florida State plus the points. I jumped on them here, plus 8, I think is a great number, and would look towards the under right before tip.
Drew Martin, you can follow him on Twitter at Drew Martin Bets, wagertalk.com. You can check out Drew's videos. We got Purdue and Tennessee on the board tonight, too. Another interesting Big Ten SEC matchup, just like that LSU-Michigan State game tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a game I'm not currently betting right now. I mean, this Tennessee team, Rick Barnes, a lot of people have question marks, you know, how well does he coach in these big games? But Tennessee is just the more talented team. But Purdue, on the other hand, I think that they're a great team coming out of the Big Ten. It's been a great conference all year long. Matt Painter's done a great job there in West Lafayette. It's a game, I think it's a toss-up. If you made me bet it, I'd be on Tennessee, but I just don't see much value here, Gabe.
What about the total in this one with Purdue and Tennessee? Do you think Purdue would probably want to, I would say, Drew, slighten the pace a little bit, but Tennessee, they want to run and gun with the athletes that they have. I kind of lean over in this game, whereas the under in the Florida State-Gonzaga game.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk you off of that. I mean, Tennessee is definitely going to run up and down, what, 123rd in terms of offensive pace and number three in offensive efficiency, and that's in the whole country. So a top five offensive efficiency team. But the thing that I would
hang in here, Drew. We'll take a quick break. And Yang, if you can, reconnect with Drew during the break.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Time decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio continues. Just reestablished connection that with Drew Martin. I blame Apple.
Apple?
Yeah, I bet you he's on like an iPhone with a headset or one of these earpieces or, you know, you got to do it old school. You got to hold the phone up. Yeah, I mean, you got to hold the phone.
That's the way me and you do it, Gabe. No, it's funny. I was watching a newscast last night, too, and the same thing. They were talking about before the Jays game or whatever, and they had a guy, same thing. It was going, it was making crazy noise. He had, like, the earbuds on with the computer, and it was a train wreck. It was on TV, too. Like, it was just so bad with the feedback for the thing. I was just like, yeah, I know Morenci's had that problem before. Yeah, go old school, brother. Hold it.
I'm gonna make a list of things. I'm going to call it the Ted Heaven Memorial List of things to do.
Yep. I like
and,
that.
It's just it's for the boys in the pit, and no fault of their own, but
guidelines.
Type of things. Guidelines of sort of. Well, yeah, when you speak to the caller, Morenci hates speaker phones, headsets, and anything else in between. Sort of things like that, right?
Correct.
But we're gonna get into the Florida Derby actually, and I think maybe this horse, the four horse, Bourbon War, might be worth a look. But we got Drew Martin in the house right now, Drew. So what countdown is on right now. Drew Martin likes the FSU Seminoles and the Virginia Cavaliers tonight. What do you think, Drew, of that Michigan-Texas Tech game?
Man, Gabe, I'll tell you, as far as any of the matchups in the Sweet 16, this is the toughest one for me to pick. This is going to be an absolute dogfight. Both of these two teams, defensive battle-tested, very good defensive efficiency teams. I if you made me bet it, I would be on the under of 125. As far as a side standpoint, I'm not confident in either one of these two offenses to pull away from their opposing defenses. I think this is a dogfight to the end. I think it's a toss-up game, so I would be taking the points with Texas Tech very non-confidently. And this game, I will be just watching as a fan just because I think it's so tough to call.
All right, let's get to your Auburn Tigers. I said off the top, and I told Cam, that Drew went to Auburn. So here we go. Bruce Pearl's got the Auburn Tigers into the Sweet 16, and it's amazing because New Mexico State had the ball last, down one, and unable to take advantage of the final possession. Yet here the Auburn Tigers are right now. After everything went in, man, last week against the Kansas Jayhawks. You and Charles Barkley, probably the happiest people in America last Saturday.
Oh, man, it was awesome for sure. And I'll tell you this. I mean, I think that New Mexico State team as a 12 seed, I think that was a rough seed for that team. But I could have seen them in an 8-9 matchup. They were a really solid team. But Auburn is just playing their best basketball, Gabe. I mean, what they haven't lost in the month of March, they're a three-point shooting team, and when they're hot, they are tough to beat. They can hang with almost anybody in the country. I could see them hanging here with UNC. The fanboy in me wants to take Auburn plus the 5.5, but even more so, I think I'm taking Bruce Pearl's advice. I like this over, man. I think both teams are going to go up and down. Auburn won't try to slow it down against any team. And we know UNC is going to push it. So I think both of these two offenses have a field day. And I like the over of 164.
The over.
What do you need? 85-80 to get a winner there, Gabe. That's a lot of points, baby. That's a lot of points.
It is, but it's funny. I was wondering, you know, is North Carolina can play a little half court, and they're a good rebounding team. I was thinking, do they want to take them out of their element? And I brought it up earlier, Drew. I spoke with former Vermont Catamount head coach Tom Brennan, you know, that built the program up, beat Syracuse in 2004 or 5. And Brennan, I said, well, he goes, no, Gabe, no, don't do that. He was like, don't bet the under. It's going to be a track meet. And Pete Gillum, former coach of Virginia Cavaliers, and Xavier tonight said, guys, it's going to be run and gun. Bruce Pearl's right. We said, what do you think, coach? Bruce Pearl said the over. It's going to be a track meet. He said, Bruce Pearl's right. It's you know, the only thing is Auburn, if Auburn goes cold, it's going to be hard to get there, isn't it, guys? Like, I'm just saying, it wouldn't surprise me if North Carolina won this game and they won, let's say, 84-77 or something. Or a little bit more than that. Like, I think they're going to win by, like, 12. Let's say, 82-70. You know what it reminds me of, Drew and Cam? It reminds me of these North Carolina Duke games. Every damn total of North Carolina Duke is 165.5. Never comes close. And they went under all three times they played this year.
Let me be you, Morenci. We need a clean ride.
You need a real clean ride.
Yeah, real clean ride, like a perfect ride. I think, I don't know, everyone's talking over. If you get any type of plays where for a couple minutes teams go cold or slow it down, that total's in jeopardy. I'm not jumping to the window to bet it. I'm not saying I'm taking the under. I just say be wary. That's all.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I mean, I love your phrase, you know, we need a real clean ride. That is perfect. But the way that Auburn shoots threes, they can put up 10 points in a matter of three possessions, you know.
Good point.
It's one of those things, it can happen very fast. But I do agree with you, Gabe. And by the way, this isn't like, you know, a big bet of mine. I just like the over here. And mainly because, you know, if it is a game like you're talking, Gabe, with UNC, you know, going north of maybe even 90 points, they could carry that over there as well. You know, a 90-75 type game, something like that could happen as well.
90-78. Yeah. Look, North Carolina gave up 72 points a game, guys. Right? Like, they do give up points. They're willing.
Yep.
They just figure, hey, we're more talented than you. And I tell you, man, this Kobe White kid really coming on right now, Drew, isn't he? Like, everyone's talking about, you know, the top guys in the draft, Cam and Drew, but White has really worked his way up. The kid's 6'5". You know, it's sort of, they like that body size in the NBA. 6'5", coming together for him right now. As of right now, he's projected to be anywhere from, like, you know, 9. I haven't really seen him higher than 9, 8 or 9 to, like, that 12 range. Yet now the lights are on, man. You know, this kid's playing for some big money right now. He could climb the ladder. So what about the side, though? I think North Carolina is going to beat them, Drew.
I wouldn't talk you off.
It's hard for him to say it.
Exactly. If I went to Auburn, I'd be doing the same thing, Gabe.
No, I mean, in Auburn, you know, against Kansas, I don't think this was, you know, Kansas's best year ever. So in having the 5 seed going against the 12 seed, I do think New Mexico State was underseeded. But you're right. I mean, as far as matchup standpoint, they did beat Kentucky, you know, fared well against Tennessee. So they've beaten the top echelon teams in the SEC. I think that bodes well. But you're right. This UNC team might be kind of next level, that UNC Duke Virginia level. So it is kind of uncharted waters as far as opponents for Auburn. And, yeah, I mean, at this 5.5 number, it could be the side to look.
What are we going to do with this? This is the game, Drew, that I'm starting to think, like, I'm looking at the SEC teams. I'm like, yeah, I could see Auburn covering 5.5. I could see LSU covering, but I'm worried about Kentucky. I think Gabe and I will get to the thing about the Houston Cougars is, I think a lot of people look at the game versus Cincinnati in the conference tournament, but Houston already, they had things locked up. They had a huge winning streak during the year. They're very, very underrated, well-coached. And Kentucky, they're not the same Kentucky team as they used to be. Sure, they've had great, great players before. They're good, don't get me wrong. They, you know, but not the best recruiting class ever. And I'm kind of looking at the Houston Cougars at +3 going, you know what? I could see this team winning outright and taking these guys out and do one for the little conferences. What do you think about Houston and Kentucky, Drew? I'm leaning Cougars.
You are. I'm actually going the other way. I like Kentucky here. You know, John Calipari in a young team, you can say, you know, a lot of things about John Calipari. You know, he's a scumbag off the court, whatever, but he can coach basketball. And he's got young guys now, freshmen, and they're more mature towards the end of the season. They're more like sophomores, even if they're one and done guys. I would look for this team to cover this spread. I'm not looking to step in front of Kentucky anytime soon. They've been a much better team down the stretch. And when you brought up LSU, Michigan State, I was actually looking the other way, kind of fade the SEC in that one with the coaching angle, the coaching questions for LSU and Michigan State with their point guard play, Cassius Winston, how good he is, and Tom Izzo as one of the better coaches, in my opinion. I think this Michigan State team could be cutting down the net.
It's a rout, that game. Michigan State's going to rout them. How about this? Tom Izzo, guys, 22-0 straight up, 17-3-2 against the spread as a favorite in NCAA tournament games when coming off a straight-up ATS win. And, I mean, you know, Michigan State, they've been just clobbering people, with the exception of Michigan. If you look, and they beat Michigan three times, but if you look, it's like smackdown, 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 close win versus Michigan. Smackdown, 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 close win versus Michigan. Man, everyone's talking about Duke and North Carolina meeting. God, I'd love to get Michigan State in this tournament. But
revenge.
But nevertheless, I think Sparty beats them. But before we let you go, we'll hang out when the break comes. We'll just keep Drew after the break. But, I think it gets away from them. And we were talking earlier about coaches' records, and I talked about how great Beeline is being at 24-11-2 against the spread in NCAA tournament games. Guys, how about this for Tom Izzo? 49-19 straight up in the NCAA tournament.
Same.
39-27 with two pushes in the Sweet 16. I mean, this guy's played in 13 Sweet 16s. Like, he's been there, done that, the experience factor. I'm with you. I think Michigan State legitimately can win the championship as well. But how about this Duke game? And for the record, I don't know if you guys heard, but what's the kid's name? Ty Outlaw?
Outlaw. So he's playing. He's playing.
Yeah, he's going to play.
He passed his drug test.
Good for them. So what, they made him take a test?
Yeah, and why are you getting suspended for marijuana anyway? For this? Can't we deal with it after the tournament? I'm so sick and tired of
this. The state of Virginia sucks.
Yeah, you think? Police state. A joke.
So what, he did a drug test and he passed?
Yeah, he did. Independent drug test. He passed.
Wow. So poor kid bought some weed, didn't even get to smoke it. Got arrested
Good
with
point.
It.
Good point. Excellent point.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The college basketball Sweet 16 this evening. NFL teams are focused on the 2019 draft. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with the promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with the promo code FNTSY. It's NFL 365 Fantasy's football package only at rotoexperts.com. Back to you, Gabe.
Well done, Cam. So, Major League Baseball has begun.
The damn Jays scoreless in the seventh. What the hell's going on in that game?
I'll tell you what's going on. Jordan Zimmerman's got a perfect game going on.
Unbelievable.
Through 6 2/3. Perfect game. There's only been two hits in the damn game.
It's like crazy.
The Tigers only have two hits. And, yeah, six through 6 2/3 innings, he's actually perfect right now. And I don't mind sort of jinxing him.
Yeah,
I don't mind jinxing him because I've got money on the Blue Jays. And I didn't realize I got my money in. You got the bet in on the stupid Astros Rays, no run in the first. That's 0-2 for those stupid bets.
Yeah,
can't
yeah,
do that
gas
anymore.
Gas
Son
em.
Of a bitch.
Oh, anyway.
See? I jinxed it. There you go.
What, the Jays just got a hit?
Yeah.
Or what else happened?
Yeah, they just got a hit.
Perfect. I didn't want to include that in the update. Go, Jays.
Oh, no.
What?
Error.
Oh, you give me a break.
Error. Let me see this. Let me see. That's not an error, bro. That ball was hit hard. Let's see. Up the middle.
No, they're calling it a single on my thing, but we'll see. Infield single.
I'm watching it live.
Yeah.
Oh, they called error.
Stupid.
They called error.
I need Patrick Reed to lose this match today. That would be huge. I got the Jays. The Jays are the last game. I got Mets parlayed with Yankees. I got Jays. That's a three-game parlay, so that one would knock that thing down. And I got another one with the Padres in here. I want to start. Let's keep the train rolling, Gabe. That account with Mr. Green's up to $400. I started with $50. I'm not screwing around this time. Yeah, well,
nice
we went perfect in hockey last night. Dallas and Colorado got it done. So our picks have been let's do it, buddy. Let you tell it. We needed a 5-day heater. This is day three, and let's keep the party going. Like, I think we can do this.
No, the picks have been great. Both of us have been chipping away and getting it done all week. These stupid first half run things are getting me, though. I got a little sloppy with the baseball. And in the Braves, I rolled the dice with the Braves. I can still end strong with the baseball. We hit the Yankee game. Yep. We could still hit the Colorado, I believe, is up right now. Let's see,
they're
Colorado.
4-0.
5-0 Rockies. Bang.
5-0. Perfect.
And hey, Mr. Green pays out when you're up by 4.
That's what I like about Mr. Green in hockey last night, too. Hey,
hello.
Mr. Green does a lot of good things. Like, sometimes I look at my account and a team's coming back. I'm like, oh, they had a 3-0 lead. Automatic payout. Like, you don't even have to worry. Your team's up 3 goals. I'm like, this is great. Great feature.
Do they still have that baseball? Do they still have that?
Yeah, they do.
Probably.
Yeah, they do.
All right,
they do.
So I'm a winner.
I think I got a note explaining, like, yeah, if you got a four, I think it's four runs in baseball, 3 goals
three
in
goals.
Hockey.
3 goals in hockey, 17 points in basketball, 14 points
Correct.
In football.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
6-0. Dodgers are now up 7-0. Quick baseball. Well, whatever. Cam will get you caught up to date.
I will.
In a couple of minutes. Right, do your damn job.
Oh, yeah, I'll read the baseball board. I got the golf going on right now. It's been great.
Florida Derby. Florida Derby, Cam. Florida Derby goes down this weekend. It's actually my favorite race. Like, this goes back to me going way back into the 90s when I wasn't even in homicide yet. So, Cam, I had nothing to do, buddy. Like, you know what I mean? I was scalping tickets, banging chicks, you know, selling whatever goods and services, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I was just like, yeah. And I used to actually just, like, during the day, live the old man degenerate sort of. I'd go to the OTB. There was an OTB down the street for me, and whatever. I was an alcoholic, and I liked to gamble, so it was a perfect match. You know what I mean?
So, sure.
I used to hang around the OTB every day. And, you know, I'd bet it all. You know, Hollywood Park, Santa Anita. Gulfstream was always my favorite, though. You know how you do better or worse at certain tracks? You know what I mean? Like,
I like the New York tracks. I like
Santa
the New York
Anita,
tracks.
Santa Anita is my best one. Like, Santa Anita, man, I used to kill at Santa Anita. Gulfstream, I've always done well at Gulfstream. Never win at Woodbine, including when we own a horse, as you know.
No, Woodbine's tough. Woodbine's a tough track. Very tough.
But
very tough.
Always been a fan of the Florida Derby. And I believe it's 1995. So, and that's when I really started getting into horse racing, and like that year type of thing. Always a degenerate gambler, but I was, and Ted Teevan was really into it, and you know what I mean? So, you know, I was going to the, it was nice. It was like I was going to like the ballroom one. Like I'd go to the dingy one to booze during the week, but for the big races, sort of like in Toronto, like Champions, it was sort of like it was like a steakhouse, but an OTB place. You know, like with real cutlery and napkins and like it was upscale, man. So I won the Florida Derby in 1995, 94, 95, whatever it was, with Thunder Gulch. And he was 12-1 to win the Florida Derby. And then I saw, I'm like, oh, he's in the Kentucky. He's in a Kentucky Derby now. He's 25-1 in the Kentucky Derby. And this is going with what you saw instead of reading crap, Cam. I'm like, I don't care if he's 25-1 and all these other horses are favored. I just saw this horse that kicked the shit out of everyone. I'm betting on this horse. I just won on him with 12-1. He won the Kentucky Derby. I won the Derby, Florida Derby at 12-1. I got goosebumps right now. It's actually next to you and me winning the race when we were watching that night on the radio.
Yeah.
It was the best moment ever in horse racing for me. 25-1, and I had, you know, I bet like $200-$300 on him too. Like it was big camp. Like I won like 5-6 dimes type thing. And I was only like 24-25. You know what I mean? Like I killed it. I had him to win place and show, and he won again. He won again. He lost. He lost the Preakness, and then he won the Belmont. He won 2 of 3.
That's impressive.
He won the Florida, he won the Florida Derby, so it wasn't like, oh, he's going to get a triple crown. He won the Kentucky, and then he lost. He finished in second. He lost in the Preakness, and then, boom, he won the Belmont just for a little
weird
on the way out.
That's weird. That's weird because Belmont usually win the first two and then lose at Belmont with that killer stretch. The horse usually runs out of gas, and they bring all the freshened horses for the third leg of the Derby. A lot of people have complained about in the past saying, like, you're an asshole not letting my horse win. But and then again, I look at it, aren't I allowed to compete too? These are the rules that we have. Sure.
Should you bring up those ringers? They bring new fresh horses.
Well, that's the thing. But that's the business, right?
Owners, we'd hate that.
We would hate it, but we also have to think that there's no rules against it. So until horse racing does something about that, like I believe you should have to be in at least two.
If you qualify for the race. Yeah, I was going to say, if you qualify for the race, you qualify for the race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and as for your OTB thing, that's the same thing. Like you should see the OTB that I go to at Dixie. They serve drinks in styrofoam cups. Are you kidding me? It's insane.
But let's be real. Yeah, Ted Teven once told me he never met a bad person at a racetrack. It's the only thing I'll disagree with him with.
No, he says a lot of great things that are true, but that's wrong.
Or a casino. Yeah. He told me that too. Yeah. He goes,
only the nicest people.
He goes, I've never met a bad person at a casino or a racetrack. And I'm thinking,
wow,
you haven't been to Vegas enough, Ted. So Thunder Gulch wins, and then that became my thing. You know what I mean? I was like, I bet the Florida Derby winner to win the Kentucky Derby. I do it every year. I've been doing it for 30 years now, 25 years, whatever it's been, 23 years. So I've been doing this every year. It didn't work for a lot of years.
No, it doesn't.
For a couple of years, there was a drought. But as of late, it's been money. It's been money. And for an example, guys, so there's been 67 Florida Derbies before. All right, this is the 68th running of the Florida Derby. 67 Florida Derbies, 44 starters eventually captured 59 Triple Crown events, including 24 Kentucky Derby champions, 19 Preakness winners, and 16 Belmont winners. It's a lot of winning coming from this Florida Derby, dude.
You're sure right, and I know what horse you're looking at. I think who were you talking about? You were talking about Bourbon War.
Bourbon War. The foot.
No,
the
I like.
Post.
I tell you, no, this I like too. There's Hint another Scroll, horse to watch out for. There's another Hint horse
Scroll
to watch out
was
for.
The big the powerhouse, but he's got the rail, so I'm turned off. Who are you looking at? Code of Honor.
Yeah, Code of Honor. The thing I like about Code of Honor is a couple things. I like the trainer, And I like the fact that this trainer knows what to do and when horses are peaking. He had a horrible first race, Gabe, but won the Fountain of Youth Stakes. This horse is peaking at the right time. Also, I love John Velasquez. I watch a lot of races in New York at Aqueduct and other races. Johnny Velasquez always comes through as a pooch in big races for me. Hell, when he's a favorite. He's just basically, he's a two-time Derby winner. He's one of the best jockeys in the world. You got a good jockey in your horse, too, but I think Code of Honor is very dangerous. The two horses that we have, one of them is probably going to win out of the race. Code of Honor is very dangerous.
The Hidden Scroll is Hidden Scroll would have been the favorite from what I see, but he got the rail. He's in the one post, not a good spot. Code of Honor's in a nine hole. A lot of alcohol in this race, Cam. Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah, Bourbon War. Harvey Wallbanger. Yeah, maybe we should do a booze trifecta. Bourbon War, Harvey Wallbanger, and throw something else in there.
Yeah, give me a Harvey Wallbanger and a Bourbon War. Here's another good name. Some nice names in this one. Maximum Security, the seven horse.
Yeah, it's
3-0. Wow, it's get this. Good. He's flawless in three starts, winning by length of the stretch each time.
Yeah. It's the Florida Derby. This race is going to be very interesting. I'm going to probably go down to my local OTB. They closed down Shoeless, Gabe, where I used to work in the horse book. That's gone. So it's very hard to they're few and far between now. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm probably going to just go down the street. I got a Champions down on Dixie where I can go get a drink and a Styrofoam cup and hang out for a couple hours with my buddy Forbes and make some bets. But I think the horse you mentioned and the horse I mentioned, I think, are going to be on the card. I got to do a little more research, though, too. But the Florida Derby, you're right. It's a very good measuring gauge going into the Kentucky Derby. So you want your horse to perform for sure.
All right. That now they changed it. They gave it a hit.
Yeah, they gave him a hit.
You couldn't give that an error. I'm telling you, I was watching it live. Like, it was a hard hit ball up the middle, man. That wasn't an error. Yeah, that wasn't an error. So the Detroit Tigers and Toronto Blue Jays are scoreless right now still.
Bottom eight? Wow.
Yeah, going to the bottom of the eighth inning. There's been three hits combined in the game. Detroit Tigers have two of them. Toronto Blue Jays have one of them. We're now a little more than 1 hour away from tip-off here tonight. You got one more baseball game that hasn't started yet. The Boston Red Sox and Seattle Mariners.
And KC and Chicago is in a rain delay, Gabe. Everything else is off and running.
Oh, so yeah, I was wondering about that, actually. Yeah, I saw that. Rain delay, huh?
Yeah, it's been a long one, too. That was a 4:10 start. It's 5:53 right now, so long rain delay.
At least the White Sox aren't 0-1.
Good point. Thanks the rain for that.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, listen, this is a really quick segment because we got the updated six, so let's go right to the pipeline here. Old school, Slick steps up and in Boston. We're not trying to be rude, Slick, but we got an updated 6 o'clock, and then it's 5 minutes, so boom, we get you on right now so you don't have to wait on hold. Bam, what you got for us, Slick?
It's all good, buddy. How you doing?
A pleasure, my man, a pleasure. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, so I'm looking tonight at this West region. And I'll tell you, the sight lines in this region are really tough. So I bet the unders in both of those games, and I bet the under three-pointers in both of those games as well. It's a tough place to play. The sight lines are tough. I think it's going to take some adjustments, and I think it's going to take some time before they find the hoops.
Where? And they're playing at the Pond, right, in Anaheim, right?
No, they're playing at it's the same place where they have the Big West Conference tournament.
Yeah, I believe it's the Pond.
It's the Honda Center.
Honda Center, in Anaheim, where the Ducks play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the call it the pond. It's that's the nickname for the hockey.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So yeah, the Honda Center. That's interesting. Why are the sight lines whacked there? I know it's a hockey arena. It's not a
basketball arena. It happens in the Big West tournament every year. I bet every game under in that tournament. It's unbelievable.
You know what's funny? You saw that. We saw it at the Barclays Center this year, right, with the Atlantic 10. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on. Yeah. These kids couldn't hit jack in this place. Like, and it's very dark in that arena. I don't know if that threw them off. So interesting. All right, so you played the prop. Under 3-point shots in the West games tonight, and both unders tonight out West.
Well, you got it, brother.
Hey, don't be a stranger. It's like, shoot us a call tomorrow. We'll have more space.
Good luck, Slick.
They're Slick in Boston. That was a Slick call in and out.
Yeah, nice and quick.
Interesting. You know,
Slick's a smart guy. I like that angle there. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, arenas and sight lines, we talk about it, but we often talk about it more from a stadium standpoint. Yeah. Or when there's curtains, or like when they did in the Conference USA when they split the court in two and they had games going on, multiple.
Yeah,
like,
that's ridiculous.
The Barclays Center really did. There was something there, guys. Like, the Barclays Center is a dark arena. They have different lighting. They have, like, these modern LED lights that no arena has. I think it messed with the kids.